You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. 5 years ago, Valley Public Radio brought you the story of one man's search for names that it seemed had been forgotten to history. It was all about a plane crash in rural Fresno County back in 1948. The plane, a flight from the U.S. Immigration Service, had 28 passengers, Mexican nationals, on a flight from Oakland to El Centro. All aboard died, but when newspapers came out the next day, those on the flight were given just one name, deportees. The subject of that story was Valley author Tim Z. Hernandez, who now has a new novel out based on this story. It's titled All They Will Call You, and it borrows its name from the lyrics of Woody Guthrie's famous song, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos, better known as Deportee, which was also inspired by this tragic crash. Tim Z. Hernandez joins us now on Valley Public Radio. Tim, good to have you back.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's always a pleasure coming back here to Valley Public Radio. You guys do such wonderful work, and you've been so supportive of all of my books over the last many years. So it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Back in 2013, you told our Rebecca Plevin that you couldn't move forward with this novel until you found these families. I think at that point you had located a few names, but it was early on in the process. Yes. How difficult was that search?
You know, it was extremely difficult. And, you know, what I've learned about this kind of work is that the moment when you actually sort of surrender, when you stop searching and you kind of just give it up to the universe, then the universe has a way of responding and answering back. There's no other way to describe it except to use the word synchronicity. And that's pretty much what happened. I mean, I did a lot of the legwork from 2010 to 2013. And I, you know, trying to search and turn over every stone possible and couldn't find any of the families. And it was finally when I finally released the information to a local newspaper, Vida Nelvaya, then all of a sudden I said, you know what, I'm going to put the story out there and let it go. It's not my story. It's the world's story. And as soon as I did that, within a matter of a few weeks, I started to find the first family. And that's how it started to roll.
So what did you find?
I found the Ramirez family, who are here in Fresno. You know, they own the Ole Frijoli Mexican Buffet there on Shaw and Blackstone. And you know, and of course, you know, and again, this synchronicity, this alignment, because the first family, the Ramirez family that I met, you know, it could have been, they could have had any amount of information or no information at all. And yet they actually had the one clue that I would use to continue to search and find the rest of the families. And that is the only surviving Spanish newspaper that was printed here independently in Fresno called El Faro. And it's the only copy in existence to this day. Now, that I say that now having been to the Hispanic media newspaper archives in the University of Houston and researched everywhere. And that's the only surviving newspaper, and they had it. And that's the paper that printed all the names of every family member, their addresses in Mexico, and their surviving family members back in Mexico. That's how I was able to find them, with that clue.
So where did that take you?
It actually took me from here to the East Coast, talking to Pete Seeger, trying to speak with him about what he might know, and because he was the first man who recorded the song. It took me to the Navajo Nation down in Rough Rock, Arizona, looking for the gentleman who actually took the Woody's lyrics first and turned it into a song. And then it took me down into central Mexico, to Jalisco. It took me to Aguascalientes. It took me down to Zacatecas, all over to Guanajuato. And of course, all over this beautiful Central Valley of ours. So, yeah.
How did the families react when they get this call some 60 years after the fact?
You know, all of the families, I mean, they had different bits of information. So the response was generally they were kind of at different parts in the story or different parts in the maybe closure process. But one thing that happened with all of them is obviously they were moved, emotionally moved. They cried and wept, because it was revisiting a wound that even if they themselves did not know personally their relative who died there, just through the sort of familial memory that was kept, they felt that wound was still open. And so here I am 70 years later at their door talking to them about their relative, and that I have information that they didn't know that was lost once upon. They just wept openly, and then, you know, obviously we're just very grateful for that kind of closure.
So, again, this name, deportee, has been applied to these people in the past. Was that really an accurate word to be used in this case?
No, it's not. It's an abstraction. And, you know, it's like one of those obviously sort of, I guess, necessary evils in the world. We have generalizations. But in this case, you know, the media, the print media at the time could have very easily listed the names, at least the names of 28. And it was that omission that spurred Woody Guthrie to write the song. So Deportees obviously does no real respect or dignity for who those people were, what they were doing here, and their own stories, their personal lives, you know. Yeah,
and what do we know about them as a whole, as far as their families and sort of the long trail of history? Not yet getting into your novel.
Sure. No, they come from all different parts of Mexico. Mostly, a lot of them are coming from central Mexico. Because that's where some of the main recruitment stations were for, at that time, the guest worker program that was called the Bracero program. And they all had, some of them were fathers, sons, brothers who were lost and no one knew where they were. And all of these, the one thing is they all had family that loved them and that missed them dearly, and that their legacy remained on the lips and in the mouths of their communities to this very day.
Now, since you started this project, there have been a lot of changes. A, all the research that you did,
right.
But at a much larger level, the national political climate has also changed.
That's right.
And has in many ways become more hostile to immigrants than when you began this search. In writing this book, how do you navigate that?
You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, in many ways, you say it's more hostile, but I think you know, probably more accurately, it's more openly hostile, right? Because it's always been hostile, and now it's just openly hostile. But, you know, one of the things is recently this year, on January 28th, which was the 70th anniversary of the plane crash, the California State Senate, they actually recognized this incident formally on the Senate floor. Myself, I was present. And so were the family members of the surviving family members of about four of the plane crash victims were there with me, carrying their photographs on the Senate floor. And also the musician Joan Baez was there, who recorded the song as well. And it was a moving ceremony in which the Senate basically recognized that this was an incident that the government did wrong by omitting the names and should at the very least have mentioned who they were. And paid that kind of respect for the work that these people were here doing as part of this guest worker program. So it was really moving. And it obviously, it's in the context of what we're seeing going around today, this, you know, nationwide kind of anti-immigrant sentiment that we see. And, you know, for me and for the families, it was really a kind of a ray of light that there is still hope, not just within our communities, but within our governmental systems. There is still hope of not only recognizing these people, but in the sort of more symbolically recognizing all of those who are still here today doing that same work for us. And what was spoken, the words that were spoken there by the Senate really sort of rung out for us. And we just felt like, you know, if the rest of the country could see this and hear this, this is what's important, you know. But it was a ray of light, I think, for all of us who were present there and obviously given in today's context.
If you just joined us on Valley Public Radio, we're talking with local author Tim Z. Hernandez. His new book is called All They Will Call You, and it borrows its name from the lyrics of Woody Guthrie's famous song, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos, better known as Deportee. This transitioned from a historical project to a genealogical project in some regard, now to a literary project. How do you go about, or how did you go about, taking these different threads that you came up with and crafting them into a novel? You've done this before.
With Be Franco and Mañana Means Heaven,
which
you guys covered as well. Yeah, you know, and this was obviously a very ambitious project. I didn't know which direction it was going to take. And in fact, I thought, you know, I could spend the rest of my life searching for these folks. You know, I don't know. And in the by the time the book was published in 2017, I had actually located the families of five of the Mexican passengers and the pilot and stewardess, so seven of the total 32 passengers. And, you know, I believe that when art, in the same way Woody Guthrie created this song and sent it out into the world, and it's kind of sailed on for six decades, you know, it has gravity. Art has gravity, as we know. And so because of Woody's song, this story survived long enough for me, the son of migrant farm workers, to find it and to research it and to find the families. Now, my belief was that if I put these stories into a book, even not having found all the families, I believe that that power of art, that gravity, will find more families. And indeed, it's exactly what's happened in the last year since the book was released. I have found three more families. three more families with wonderful stories, compelling stories. And now I'm realizing, and that's because also there's still more information coming in. And I said, oh, Tim, this project isn't over. There's still much more work to be done. So moving forward with that, I think that if there was any real way to kind of weave these stories together, it was to allow the voices of the family members and their memories to be the narrative that pulls us through the entire book. And that's what I tried to do most, get myself out of the way as much as possible and let them tell the story.
Do you have a similar problem to makers of not necessarily documentary films, but films based on a historical event? We kind of already know what happens. How do you go about something like that? We think of a plane tragedy as a terrible ending, which it truly is, but does that present a unique challenge for a writer in this case?
It does. In fact, it really does. And one of the things I thought was, you know, okay, if we look at this just for the story element, right? If we just look at it on the page as a story, I thought, well, the plot is already blown. We know how it ends. They all die in a plane crash. So I thought, well, then I need to just be upfront with that right at the beginning. Let the reader know what we all know. We all know they die in a plane crash. So I give the reader the plane crash scene, but only from the perspective of the eyewitnesses standing on the ground. So it's still a very, immediate response eyewitness account of the plane crash happening. And then what happens, my job then is, after you see the plane crash in the first 20 pages unfold, then I take you back to about every single passenger that was on, or at least the ones I found who were on that airplane, and I start to tell you their stories as told through their family in a way that, hopefully, my goal is in a way that makes the reader forget that they are going to die, which is a big challenge. But I said, if I can get them into their love, you know, there's a beautiful relationship between a man and a woman, and they fall in love, and you see their courtship unfolding, and it's true to what they told me, the oral history, and it's such a beautiful story that you do get caught up in that. There's another story of two brothers, who wants to come to the United States to be a baseball player, and you get wrapped into those stories, so that by the time you've got all of their stories and what, all the way up to the moment that they're about to step foot on this airplane, then you're reminded, oh, they're going to die. And now, though, I do a reenactment, which is a documentary film move, right? I sort of create a recreation of what could have possibly happened in that plane. And it's told now, though, from inside the airplane, seeing the perspectives of these characters that you've read about and lived with for a while. Now, when I wrote this scene, obviously it's a leap of imagination, but it's an informed leap, as much as you would find in a documentary film. I actually sat inside of a Douglas DC-3 airplane and wrote that entire scene from inside of the airplane, like from inside an airplane at this museum in Santa Teresa, New Mexico. And, so I try to recreate that as realistic and detailed as possible with what I knew. Yeah.
How has the book been received? You mentioned hearing from new families that you didn't know were out there since it's come out.
It's been incredible. It's been incredible. The book, the families have been obviously very grateful for it, but the families have been one of the biggest champions of the book. And I think that was really important to me. You know, I didn't want the book to come out and for the families to not like it. That'd be, you know, I want them to feel like I did justice to their relatives. And even, you know, I think it's important to clarify that it's not only the families of the Mexican passengers, but also the American crew members' families as well. Frank Atkinson and his wife, Bobby Lillian Atkinson, the stewardess, died in that crash, and I'm close friends with their family now. And, you know, they were the first ones to express their gratitude for how I portrayed Frankie in that. Because the idea here is that, look, there were 32 human lives that perished in that accident. None of them spared the same fate. So if I can just elevate all of their humanity, each one side by side, then we as people can see this story and realize that I think we have much more in common than we do differences, and we're all hurling toward a common fate.
You've been teaching at the University of Texas at El Paso for some time now. What do your students have to say about finding their professor has a big new book out?
Yeah. No, the students are the students there are fantastic. You know, in El Paso there at UTEP where I teach, we actually have the only master's program in bilingual creative writing. So, you know, there are many creative writing programs out there, MFAs out there, but we actually offer one that is very deliberately bilingual. And so a lot of our students come not just from the United States, they also come from Latin America. So, you know, it's really interesting. So when we have them all in a classroom discussing their own individual stories from their own respective communities, it creates an amazing international dialogue, a situation. And that to me is really the basis of my own work. And that's what I hope to to be about, and that's what I hope to teach. So yeah, the students, so I teach a lot of research there, and the students, you know, they're all engaged in that, hopefully. You know, that's the idea.
You've been there for a few years now.
4 years, yeah.
But you're moving there now, leaving Fresno, in fact, this week.
Yeah, I've been pretty mobile. You know, I've been pretty mobile because I actually was hired there for the online master's program. And so, which was really helpful to me in the first 4 years because I was doing the research for this book. I needed to be as mobile as possible. But now, yeah, I'm getting ready to go back into the classroom this fall. So I'm going back there. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
You're leaving Fresno. Most of your stories are here, though. Do those stories go with you, or do they always have a grounding, a rooting here in the valley?
They're always rooted here. But, you know, I think of Steinbeck's wonderful quote, which influenced me early on. He said, you know, I want to write about this valley in a way that it is the valley of the world. And that's what I feel like. All of my stories begin and end here at home. But my job also is to travel the world, to go and live in other places, to get these stories out as much as possible, too. And, you know, so that there's always this kind of international and yet local sort of exchange. And that's what I hope to do forever.
Tim, before we go, you have an event that is coming up here in the Valley. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's at the Woodward Park Library branch on this Thursday at 5:30. And it's actually the Chicano Alumni Book Club, a group of local folks here who have just been doing a lot of community work for years, and professors and folks who've graduated from CSU Fresno. And they've taken on all of my books, and they're finishing with All They Will Call You. And we're going to go there and do a discussion, but we want to make it a public event, invite the community out, a lot of folks who haven't been able to engage with the book and have this conversation. And basically, it's going to be my last reading here in Fresno before I head back to El Paso. So I'm looking forward to just everyone coming out and enjoying it.
Sounds like a great time Thursday night. A good way to say goodbye to Fresno, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Goodbye, and see you soon.
We've been talking with author Tim Z. Hernandez. The Fresno novelist has a new book. It's called All They Will Call You. It's a new telling, historical fiction based on the tragedy that took place in western Fresno County in 1948, where a plane carrying 28 Mexican nationals crashed out of the sky. All those aboard, including the crew, were killed. It also inspired a famous Woody Guthrie song, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos. And Tim has done not only great work in this novel, but great work in tracking down many of the families that are still out there of the victims of that crash. Tim, thank you so much, and best wishes as you uproot and move to Texas.
That's okay. You won't get rid of me for too long. So thank you so much. I appreciate you guys here. Thank you.